Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, hello. This is George Severus, the co-host of the award-winning podcast Stradiolab, here to say that my two stand-up shows in sunny Los Angeles are next week. I repeat, next week at the Elysian Theater. The March 5th show is going to feature Rachel Pegram and Miss Sam Taggart herself, and the March 6th show will feature Pat Regan and Danielle Perez. So head over to my Instagram bio where you will find a link that has tickets to, honestly, both shows, if you can believe that, with today's technology, or even go to the Elysian Theater's website and you can find them there. I will see you there and enjoy the show.
Okay, podcast starts now.
Wow. You know, we were just talking about the whole thing of Jeremy Strong at some point in the last 2 years saying the word dramaturgically.
Yeah.
And then everyone suddenly being like, what the hell is this F slur on about?
Yeah, they tore him to shreds for saying the word dramaturgically.
He's an actor. That's like if you went to a business meeting and someone was like, does anyone have the, you know, metrics? And you were like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then you started chasing him with spears.
Well, we value anti-intellectualism in this country.
It's so crazy.
In a way that is disgusting.
It's also like, what do you think makes him such a good actor? It's the fact that he's insane and went to Juilliard.
Well, people are like, no, he's a good actor because he's on TV.
No, no, no. You're thinking of Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah, not everyone's Priyanka Chopra. Do you...
Yes.
Do you think acting is an art? Go.
I do.
Oh.
And in fact, the older I get, the more I think maybe it's the only art. in an overly media saturated environment where everything is mediated and everyone is performing, I am sort of like, actors were so ahead of their time by being completely fake and full of shit.
Sure.
Because now that is actually the only thing you can do to survive in this economy.
So you're saying that even when someone is another kind of artist now, they are, in a sense, an actor, performing the role of that artist.
Actors are what internet users are based on. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
It's like when you're writing an email, it's in a long tradition that goes back to, you know, the Rosetta Stone,
Shakespeare.
Yeah. And yes,
it's
you're not,
Greek.
Listen, I'm not saying your email is going to win a Pulitzer, but if it weren't for all of that history, you could not write an email that said, can I have this by EOD?
Wow.
And in this similar way, acting, you know, the Stella Adler method, mm-hmm. Juilliard, mm-hmm. Shakespeare, whatever, mm-hmm. all of that was needed for people to now be like, unboxing my FitFab fun box. Because otherwise, how would they know what to
No, they wouldn't
on?
Know how to say that. They wouldn't know how to perform that and so how to live in that.
Yeah, and I think like in each era almost, there's a certain art form that defines that era. I think almost like post-war, it was visual art. It was like painting, new ways of seeing, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think there have been times in the past where the defining art form is writing.
Sure.
And everyone is rallying around the new hot book.
Yeah.
And I think now the defining art form of our era, unfortunately, I'm not saying I agree with it, is acting.
Yeah, that's tough for me because I don't know if I do value it as an art.
So here's a question for you. Do you value photography as an art?
Great question.
Because that's the other one that defines our era, because every when you post a photo of a croissant, that is basically based on, you know, Nan Golden.
Right. You're in a language. You're having a conversation with the past, present, and future.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, I guess I consider photography an art.
Mm-hmm.
More so.
More so than acting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think photography and acting, which one is straighter and which one's gayer?
Acting is gayer, photography is straighter. Maybe that's why I respect it more.
It's interesting. I think, of course, that's like, I get exactly where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of push back on it as an intellectual exercise.
Of course.
Photography is so voyeuristic.
Wow.
You know, it's...
Sure.
Gay guy in the corner,
yeah,
being like, they don't know that I read,
yeah,
and but I'm going to take a photo of this party and it's going to have an air of melancholy.
I'm invisible, and yet I'm the center.
I am the eye,
yeah.
And then acting is so action based that it's sort of like a guy swinging his dick around.
But I feel like that's exactly why
it's gay,
yeah,
because it's a gay guy swinging his dick around. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I feel like the photographer is such a straight, like that moody straight
right,
guy.
Right. American
like,
Beauty.
Yeah. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. But I need you all to, I still need to have the highest
incel.
Status here. Yeah.
Photographers are incels.
And they think they are seeing the world like correctly.
Right. Whereas actors have no subjectivity and need lines in order to even know what to say.
And to be worshipped and adored.
Worshipped and adored, poly, bisexual.
Of course.
All right. I think you're winning me over.
Wow. That's nice.
Should we bring in our guest, trained actress and photographer?
I think that could be an amazing idea.
Yeah. Am I rushing?
No. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, that's a shorter intro than...
Oh, then we can keep going.
But I actually think to not bring her in now would be
crazy.
Toxic.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like, you know... There are other intros where we spend 15 minutes trying to get to a point where we're debating whether acting or photography is gay or straight.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we got there so fast, I'm like, let's celebrate by basically throwing a party in the form of inviting one more person to our conversation.
I think that's such a beautiful idea.
Thank you. Please welcome our friend Esther Falick.
Hello.
Hi.
So right off the bat, Esther, what is your take on everything that has been said
so
far?
Okay, so I'm so glad you asked because it's been really hard for me. I could sense that.
Yeah. We're sort of baiting you.
I'm thinking about words that have been in my mind recently.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Object and subject.
The way those two words are on my mind 24/7.
You know what I'm saying? Because
okay.
I think what we're saying here is that I think in acting, you're insisting upon, you're turning yourself into the object.
Yes, correct.
In photography, no, wait, sorry. Sorry,
you're the subject.
You're the subject.
Wait, no.
In photography,
you're looking for a subject.
In acting, you're the object.
Okay. Wait.
But you're the subject in photography because it's like,
but the photographer is not the subject. His subject is the subject. Or, sorry.
No, because the photographer is like, oh, shit. I guess I don't know what these...
No, but guess
but
what?
Came you've in opened, so hot.
You've op- but you've opened a door.
What? But I've opened a door.
Yeah.
Well, here's two
and
words.
I guess I do know
subject
that.
Subject and object.
Subject and object. Okay, so...
They're not mutually exclusive.
Let's go back to basics.
Yeah.
Subject and object.
Yeah.
Which one to you is straighter and which one is gayer?
I mean, object is gayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because... Mm-hmm. It like the way isn't object like you're like the form being like acted upon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why photographer I feel like is a subject. They're the subject because they're like they're like capturing the object.
So it's a misnomer to call the subject of the photograph the subject of the photograph. I mean, they're the object. Without the photographer, they would just be like a literal random person sitting on a stool in the middle of a room.
Which is why it's correct, frankly, that we were saying he for photographer.
Yes, exactly.
And we were saying she for actor.
Right, because to have agency, that's sort of masculine.
Of course.
In this culture.
I didn't build this world.
No.
Women have tried to have agency, have not seen one succeed yet. And then an actress.
Yes.
I actually think, you know how sometimes a serious woman actor will say actor, like as a, you know, Charlize Theron as an actor.
Yes.
I actually think women should say actress and men should also say actress. I want to see Robert De Niro say, you know, as a young actress, I really felt like Marty understood what I was trying to say.
Yes.
That would be so amazing.
And then we could have five... It could be like best,
exactly.
Best butch, best femme.
Yeah,
you know, best mask.
They should
we
do the
round. We could have like best high femme performance of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love that actually. To not necessarily get rid of gendered categories, but interpret gender through a more queer lens.
Exactly. Genitals, get them out of there.
And it's just like, are you butch? Are you femme? Yeah. High femme, soft butch.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Best supporting bottom.
Best supporting bottom.
I was going to say, we could do twink.
Yeah.
Bear. And bear is like, we're not
That's
talking
trying
bear.
To connect with the else culture.
Yes, no. And when you say bear, it's not like we're talking about like a hairy man. Like,
no.
Judi Dench can give a bear performance.
Of course. If she's a good actress.
You know, I think Judi Dench could give a bear performance.
Yeah.
I think Charlize could give a bear performance. I don't think Anne Hathaway could.
Do you think Cate Blanchett? Like,
yes.
Is she like giving bear performances?
I mean, Tar, I would argue, is a bear performance.
Tar is a bear performance.
Tar is a bear performance.
Whereas I think, here's what I'll say. The Whale. Twink performance.
That's oh my god.
Yeah, I'm like tearing up right now.
That's so groundbreaking.
Despite like what's on the scale, that's not what it's about.
No.
The performance is a twink performance.
That's such a twink performance.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think Darren Aronofsky, frankly, was filming it like a bear performance.
And that is why that is his flaw as a director in that specific moment.
Exactly. But Brendan Fraser, I mean, he understood the twink.
He understood the
twink. Right? He brought the twink.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's why there's like something salvageable about that movie. The first 5 minutes made me want to throw up out of like disgust for how abhorrent it was.
No,
like,
it is actually a completely abhorrent movie, and yet I am on record as saying I was on a plane when I watched it and I cried.
I cried.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
You know, something actually like...
Run, don't walk.
It's very twink for something to be abhorrent and yet make you cry.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
I do, not to really dig so deep into this bit that we...
Madam Web.
Run into Well...
it needs to be brought
up. Well, first of all, obviously Madam Web, but also what I was thinking is, you know, this episode will probably come out around the Oscars, and I was thinking, is there a way to sort of use this new vocabulary we have created to think about the best performance of the year?
Wow.
Like, is Cillian Murphy's Oppenheimer performance, I would say soft butch?
I was going to say lesbian for sure.
Lesbian?
Yeah. Well, that's lesbian for sure. That's obvious.
Yeah.
You weren't even asking that.
No, like, that's not. Yeah. If you think he's doing gay guy performance, you literally need to go back to the American Film Academy. Uh-huh.
But it's not straight guy either. I think this is a really lesbian thing.
It's lesbian. I think the question is it, I would say it's more soft butch than like high femme to me.
I think you're right. I actually think you nailed it. I don't think I have much more to say. Like, it's soft butch. It's like...
Yeah, it's maybe not... It doesn't make good podcast material to just fully agree with you, I agree.
Right? Or honestly, it's even giving a little, like... It's frankly giving a little AFAB non-binary, like the poetry reading.
Sure. 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The little hat.
The little hat.
Yeah.
The little hat.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's certainly something for your listeners to explore further as they take this episode.
Well, that could be a really huge win for representation if an AFAB non-binary performance wins Best Actor.
Oh my God.
I mean, that would be so groundbreaking, which is also probably why we loved Oppenheimer.
We loved Oppenheimer. We really loved Oppenheimer.
Did you?
Yes.
We do. We stand Oppenheimer.
Okay, so I loved the first hour because that's all I saw.
Right?
Because I saw it, because no one knows how to project film anymore. And it was, when I saw it, it was like,
Oh, it was like moving around?
It was like moving around.
Oh, wow.
So I like got my money back and then I just like never found another time.
Was it in New York City?
So powerful.
A theater in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, well, spoiler alert.
Union Square.
It goes south just in terms of the, as a film, I think it soars.
Then I'd rather.
Well, he does create a bomb.
It's complicated because he succeeds.
What?
He succeeds.
But at what cost?
At what cost?
So that's where it's kind of messy as a narrative.
And that's where we get back into soft butch territory.
Well, I know. Is it problematic to say that like that performance is soft butch, AFAB non-binary, when in fact it is someone who has created so much destruction in the world? Like, are we being almost like conservative by being like, oh yeah,
right.
Oppenheimer, right. known for murdering so many people through his inventions, sort of is a trans narrative.
You know, I think we should have a world where AFAB non-binary can be bad.
Yes,
exactly. Okay, we can't put them on a pedestal.
Yes.
We're like, AFAB non-binary people will never cause worldwide
destruction. They could invent a bomb. They could invent a new bomb.
Better than many others.
Better than many.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Period.
Wow.
Oh, wait, I have something. Okay, first, two things.
Okay. Yes.
What do we want to say what Dakota Johnson's performance was in Madam Web?
Yeah. Well, okay, so Esther has not seen Madam Web yet.
Yeah.
But wants to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not mad at her for not having seen it.
Yeah.
We'll see it by
I haven't seen The Whale, but that doesn't mean I can't comment.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
But unlike The Whale, you know, Madam Web is a nuanced portrayal of a woman that is discovering her powers.
It's really amazing.
Madam Web, I certainly think. And I will try not to spoil anything. When she becomes Madam Web with the glasses, that is high femme.
I think it is it's specifically 30-something gay guy performance.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
I think it's so like, I don't know. Like, it's so like bored.
It's the Drag Race contestant that thinks they're above it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Hmm.
You know, what about this? Is it bisexual woman?
Well, so that was actually first thing.
That's
So here's my first instinct.
Yeah. Bisexual cis woman, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wow.
Obviously, Madam Web is cis.
If you were to come here and try to convince me that Madam Web was trans, I would actually make you leave the studio. There has never been a more cis woman on screen.
Madam Web is cis.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think my instinct was to be like, before she discovers her powers, it's bisexual cis woman who's in denial about her sexuality, and then she has her powers, and that means she's bisexual but still married to a man.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of her whole deal. That was a character where it was like, I have powers, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, she never really had powers.
So what I understand about, like, her powers is that she can see sort of in the future.
Kind of.
And isn't
the sort of is T.
Okay. Well, so isn't that a queer narrative? Like, when you begin to understand your queerness, like, suddenly you're like, oh, I can envision a future for myself.
Mm. Wow. So it's a coming out narrative.
Yeah.
Wow.
She couldn't.
And she surrounds herself like, with, she like, was a like, polycule or something,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like, all her, like, yeah.
Well, yes. she's mother.
She's mother. Okay.
But mother can also be.
Mean a lot of things.
I mean, she could be just like an older lesbian that has a younger, you know,
daughter.
I mean, the character was kind of giving Ace in a big way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, she doesn't have a love interest, which is key. And she actually has a male best friend that is in no way sexual, and it's Adam Scott.
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think girl being best friends with Adam Scott is a little Ace.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a little Ace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I actually think Adam Scott, who I am on record as finding hot, and I don't think he himself is Ace as a person, but I think his energy is Ace. There's something like safe.
Oh, the media treats him Ace.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
No one, even when I said I found him hot, everyone we were with was like almost like wanted to punch me in the face.
Yeah. They started revving up.
Yeah.
I was scared. Yeah.
Wow. This has been, I've learned so much.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about, which is maybe boring potentially, I think in the same way that Slay had its moment of like post irony, whatever, I think period is in that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
I actually used to be like, you know, period is like, I was almost like, I don't say, like, that's too,
I agree.
I'm like, there's distance from it.
Yeah.
Where it, to me, is such a funny punctuation now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of addicted to it.
I know. And I actually feel like
Like, Slay and Period were kind of some of the first ones that I feel like I understood really how to say. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the fact, I'm, like, grieving them.
Yeah, that was like your Madam Web moment.
That was my Madam Web moment, you know?
Yeah. And now you saw a future where you could say Slay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, you know, I went to musical theater school, and not to open a can of worms, I went to musical theater school, and people were saying, like, Gorge at that time.
Uh-huh. That's tough.
And yeah. It was like code to me. Like, it was so baffling. I was like, Gorge. Like, how do you say Gorge? You know what I mean? But like, Slay and Period, I was like, yeah, like that in my body, I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's gone. Like, how do y'all deal with that?
I mean, there are just certain words. I feel actually this way about Darling, where I keep so many years into my life as an out and proud gay man.
Mm-hmm. Period.
I keep being like, maybe this is the time Darling will stick for me. Like, I'll say hello to someone and be like, hi, Darling. And it never sounds correct. Never.
Darling. Darling. No, I can't say Darling. That's a different style of lingo. It's like, I can't do that. You want to be an old gay guy.
Yeah. When you get a little gray.
When I get a
Darling's going to be fantastic on
that's
you.
True. Yeah. It takes time to earn your stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do see it for you.
Yeah.
It,
like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think if the impulse is there, it's because it's there.
It's there.
You know?
I haven't had my Madam Web moment of like seeing a future in which it goes.
Darling is your gorge where you're like, I see it, I hear it, but it's not for me.
But wait, do you feel like now you can say gorge?
No.
No.
I'm feeling actually very like, what's the opposite of seen?
Right.
Invisible?
I'm feeling invisible right now.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's amazing.
No, I'm just kidding. I feel seen.
This is your invisible girl moment rather than, is that the one from The Incredibles? Invisigirl?
Invisigirl.
Invisigirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sort of spectrum between Madam Web and Invisigirl.
Exactly.
Madam Web, not only are you seen and being seen and seeing, but you can see different time periods, different futures, different pasts.
Oh my God.
Invisigirl.
Sees all.
Sees all. And sort of.
Connects all.
Connects all.
Her web.
Her web.
Her web.
Us all. All of us.
What are some words that you say?
What are some words that I say? Well, I have like a period I have been able to say recently because I feel there's enough distance from actually saying it.
Yeah.
It's stripped an irony.
I do think queen is just grandfathered in. We say queen every time we start a text conversation, it's hey queen.
Yeah. That's a classic. I think queen will never die.
I agree.
Long live queen.
Long live the queen, hopefully.
I actually had a moment.
What are some words I say?
So
that's such a great question.
Someone we know, I believe it might have been Jess Tom, posted that he doesn't like when cis people say king to him.
Mm.
And I was actually thinking about this and I was like, I wonder if, here's what's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm talking to someone, maybe a trans mask person. My instinct is, as with every, I call everyone queen. So my instinct is to be like, hey, queen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will, in that micro moment, catch myself and be like, well, they probably don't want to be referred to as queen. And so then I will switch it fast to king. But then that actually is worse because it sounds so condescending and it's you being like, affirming you.
Yeah,
I'm affirming you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had to sit with that. I almost texted Jess, but then I was like, that's not gonna.
Hey, sorry, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I have to start this conversation. I was being very like straight woman who learns about gay issues for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you really never stop learning.
You never stop learning. I can actually speak to this.
Please.
I had a good friend of mine who, she's a cis woman, and I'm not going to say who she is, but she's been on Broadway.
Patti LuPone.
It's Patti.
Yes,
it's
Patti.
It's who's, what's her, oh my God, why am I blanking? Who's now in Sweeney?
Sutton Foster.
Sutton Foster. It's Sutton Foster. Foster. Yeah. I would love it if it came out that Sutton Foster was a huge turf.
Oh my! Honestly, no, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Okay, I won't.
And,
I won't.
Breathe,
I
like, won't. Never know. No reason. But I'm just like, I know it. Yeah. I bet.
So you know a Broadway actress.
So I know a Broadway actress.
Okay.
Congrats.
And okay, so I have this. She at one point, like early-ish in my transition, maybe like 6 months, she was someone who was always like very supportive, and. You know, like, actually, not like people who were like, you know, there on the day I came out and being like so proud of my friend.
Let's check in
Esther.
For years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But at one point on the phone, she like called me dude.
Mm.
And she was like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. But I didn't feel it. I didn't take it as a microaggression or anything like that because, like, I had been friends with her long enough. I had seen that she doesn't, she had never called me dude until I came out as a woman.
Wow.
She calls all of her girlfriends
dude. She calls all her girlfriends dude. Yeah.
She doesn't call men dude.
No, this is, yeah.
So, like, I, there is a bit of a, to bring it back to Spider-Man, like, sixth sense, like a Spidey sense. Like, you know, I can't speak for everyone.
You know when the word dude is meant as offensive and when it's not.
Oh my God.
Of course.
I mean, I know when someone gendering me correctly is, like, aggressive.
Is doing it in quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, I mean, sometimes, like, my pronouns are she, her, and I do know, like, there's, like, some theys that feel aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
so probably your queen, not to...
I should hope so, yes.
I think probably...
will not read as offensive.
No.
Why? Yes, I don't... Well, that's the thing, of course, is, like, no one is going to be like, wait, queen, so you think I'm a woman?
Right.
No one is going to say that. But you know, sometimes...
Well, someone might.
Someone might.
That's true.
Someone might. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You never know these days.
You never know.
Oh, honey, I'll go to a college campus. Can't say anything anymore.
Oh, my God. Everyone's so sensitive.
You can't even call anyone queen.
Oh, that's
what
I'm saying. That part.
That we have been really... Well, that part I can't pull off.
I can't pull off that part.
But say that.
No.
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 And I also like...
Boots.
Boots is complicated, too.
Boots is complicated.
Boots are complicated.
Boots are complicated.
I was thinking, I'm feeling so insane suddenly. Whenever we do two recordings in a row,
I'm
like,
oh my God.
I'm like, there hasn't been a good song about boots in a while.
That's actually,
this is something I've been feeling in my heart.
That's not insane.
Wait, okay, these boots are made for walking.
Really powerful.
And remember, you twos, put on your boots.
Put on your boots.
Yeah. Your sexy boots.
I mean, this is a bad one, but I mean, rest in piss, maybe? We'll put a boot in your ass because it's American way.
Yeah.
Oh, so boots have become conservative. Well, I guess they've
We need a boot song.
We need a feminist boot song.
A feminist boot song.
You know, Chapel Roan should do it. When she does a boot song, it'll be great.
Yeah. Chapel I think Roan. That's really insightful.
Yeah.
I think that's really insightful.
I could even see an Ethel Cain.
So I'm actually a little scared that, like, well, I think we might be past the point of boot song because, like, it reads a little consumerist, frankly. It's like, why are we going to be empowered by footwear, right?
Yeah, yeah, empowered by footwear, like, in this economy? Yeah. I don't think so.
Unless it's like, you know.
But the boots are a symbol. Like,
the boots are a symbol.
They're your armor.
Or what if it's post-ironic and the album is literally called Empowered by Footwear and it's about how we can never be fulfilled by footwear.
Oh, wow. It's a commentary. Wow.
That actually... Okay, who would release Empowered by Footwear? Because I actually don't think that's Chapel Roan anymore.
No, that's...
Footwear.
I mean, I can imagine, like, Katy Perry trying.
Yeah.
It's like, girl.
Yeah.
Come on. It's
that's like, very change of the rhythm.
It's very like, change of the rhythm.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Katy Perry. Well, she needs a... We've been, you know...
I mean,
she's due for a comeback.
She could do that or a normal boot song.
She could have
a boot song and it would be fun.
Yeah.
Boots concept album where each song is a different take on boots and what they can
really
do to you.
That's really interesting.
Could be big.
Kind of like those old, those Christmas albums with the Keith Haring
art. Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's literally no good art anymore.
Period.
That part.
It's actually crazy.
It's really crazy.
Wait, we need to do our first segment because I'm actually so eager to talk
okay,
about
I also topic. Have one more thing to answer your question of what am I saying now.
Okay.
I have an answer. Uh-huh. Also, going hog. I've combined going hog wild and going ham into just saying going hog. And I actually love it.
You dropped my jaw with that one.
Damn.
Wow. That's really cool.
You always have to be inventing.
I do have one more. And,
okay.
I'm trying to use, well, yes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We've been doing that.
George, you're really good at it,
Thank
actually.
You.
Yeah.
You do it subtly, tastefully.
I actually do feel like if I haven't vocally warmed up, it might not, because you kind of got to flip.
You got to get up there.
You have to flip a little bit.
Well,
yes.
The musical theater training.
Exactly.
The musical theater. That was actually a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of scary. Do you ever see someone with training and you're like, oh, I shouldn't try?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do our first segment.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. we are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Our first segment, Esther, is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture by asking you a series of rapid-fire questions where you have to choose one thing or another thing, okay. And the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how the game works, and if you do, we will get violent.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of threats today.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Okay. Miss Congeniality or Miss Kirstie Alley?
Miss Kirstie Alley?
Bringing a gun to a knife fight or having some fun with the wife tonight?
Bringing a gun to a knife fight.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, following up, circling back, or looping you in?
Following up, circling back, or looping you in? Circling back.
Mm-hmm.
Walk the Line by Johnny Cash or You Look Fine Except for That Rash?
You Look Fine Except for That Rash.
Moisturizer or womanizer, 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 womanizer?
Womanizer, 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 womanizer.
Beyonce going country or my fiance's being cunty?
My fiance's being cunty.
Okay, being deflowered or being empowered? And yeah, they're different.
Ooh.
Who's being, arguing that they're the same?
I am not.
Being deflowered.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Our Father Who Art in Heaven or My Mother is 57.
My mother is 57.
Wow. That was incredible.
That was a great performance.
I thought that was a really good performance.
I'm trying to think. So we rank our guests from 0 to 1,000 doves.
Okay.
You know what here's what I'm dealing with.
What is it?
You know, I thought that was an incredible performance. I want to say 1,000 doves.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've been so easy on our guests recently.
I know. I've been thinking that too. Like, it really is. You know, there's an article today about Machiko Kakutani, the New York Times book critic who used
I
to...
I knew this would come up.
Now, to be clear, I have not read this article, but I did see the headline and the subhead.
That's all that matters.
And I believe that the argument is sort of like she used to be such a harsh critic and now she's gone soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are we Kakutani-ing?
We're Kakutani-ing. I mean, we used to be Pitchfork in 2007, and now we're Pitchfork in 2024.
We're literally Pitchfork in 2024 giving Taylor Swift's
8.2. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say 1,000 doves.
1,000 doves.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah. You're lucky you caught us in our Kakutani, present day Michiko Kakutani era.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because we've been cruel in the past.
We've been cruel in the past. We gave Chris Murphy like a 300.
Well, he needed to do better.
He needed to do better.
Look, people think, oh, you know, we're friendly. We see each other out. Oh, they won't give us a tough score. Yeah, we will.
I was ready for whatever you brought. I was ready for whatever came. I was like, you know what? It's I'm going to survive.
If there's one thing, if there's a negative thing I could point out in your performance, it's actually the lack of, you were so ready and so prepared that it almost felt like there was a lack of stakes. Because I was like, nothing I will say will make you confused or make you sort of like, flounder.
Yeah, wow. So you're saying there was no danger.
It was a little bit like, you know, this is sort of how I felt about the movie Past Lives. I felt like, yes, I understood what it was trying to do, and I thought it was great, and I thought Greta Lee was great, but it had a bit too tidy of a bow on it, where I was like, I know exactly what it's doing and where it's going, and I think potentially you gave a Past Lives performance.
How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel, I have something to work on. I have something to work on. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing. Yeah.
And I think what it is, you know, Greta Lee, again, someone I love and someone whose performance I loved, didn't ultimately get nominated for the Oscar. So I think what you're dealing with is a performance that is critically acclaimed, that everyone loved.
Yeah.
But that didn't make the cut.
And everyone's saying, like, what's her next outing?
Exactly.
Yeah. What's her next outing?
Yeah.
And they're looking back and they're like, wait, Greta Lee was in that. But this wasn't the one.
It was sort of like Amy Adams and Junebug. Like, that was her first big performance.
Yeah.
Although she, in fact, did get nominated.
Sure. Yeah. Wait. Past Lives. Mm-hmm. Now that's straight culture.
I have to agree. And again, you haven't seen it?
Okay.
No, I think it is straight culture, not in a derogatory way, just sort of like it really is a quintessentially straight love story.
In a big, so I saw that. It was one of my first dates with a previous partner of mine, who of course is non-binary, and we were non-monogamous.
Wow, so, congratulations.
Thank you so much. So we were watching it just being like, why don't they just, just do the, what?
But I almost appreciate, like, there's something about the clear-cut stakes and limitations of a straight love story that is what makes, you know, ancient Greek tragedy and Shakespeare so compelling.
Yeah, it makes it's right. Honestly,
if everyone was just Polly in Romeo and Juliet, like, what's the point?
It's like cell phones.
Yeah. I was just about to say cell phones.
Yeah.
I was like, cell phones, cell phones. Damn.
It's like too many movies would be ruined with polyamory.
Yeah.
We can't.
That is true.
Yeah. They're going to start having to do everything's a period piece set in 2003 before polyamory was around.
You know, okay.
No polyamory, no cell phones. That way the movie can have some stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I'm reading a book, and this is actually sort of related to this. I'm reading a book. I won't say who it's by, but it's no.
It's by
you would know. You would know her. You would know her.
J.K. Rowling.
No. Okay. Closer to Sally Rooney than Jake. But honestly, I would say right down the middle. We'll bleep it. It's
Okay. Why do you want to keep her private? She's a public.
Because I am about to criticize
in a way. Oh. And we all saw the Tina Fey clip.
Got it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in this book, the main character is a mother, and she has I believe, 6-year-old child. And she refers to the child with they, them pronouns. Not because the child has, like, come out as non-binary, just because this is a progressive mom who wants to refer to her child in that way until the child. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is something that I quite literally agree with politically. I am on board. And yet, I'm reading this book, and I'm so aware of it that I'm, like, suddenly thinking too much about this mom character. I'm like, ugh, classic Portland mom. Classic. Like, I'm unable to see, like, other elements of her because that is so jarring. And I think that is what the polyamory thing and the cell phone thing does to movies. You know what I mean?
Wait. When you see... What do you mean exactly? Like, it distracts you when it's not there?
No, it distracts me when it's there. Like, when she's saying, like, I changed their diaper, it takes me a second to be like, oh, what? Oh, right. Oh, that's what she's
doing. Right.
And polyamory in a film would take you out.
Yeah.
Oh, if it were, yeah.
If it were in a film.
Yeah, you'd be like, okay, like, we got it. Yeah. Your fingers on the pulse.
Yeah, it would be about, like, polyamorous race car drivers.
Exactly.
And you'd be like, you'd only be able to focus on the poly part.
Exactly.
And not the fact that they're racing. And not the fact that they're
racing. Because this woman,
yes, that's a really
I think this
point.
Is what I'm, yes, like, this woman is doing all this other stuff that is the actual plot of the book. And I keep, like, for 1 second too long thinking about
right.
The which is
that's interesting.
Which then I'm like, all right, so I'm conservative.
A little.
Yeah.
Or about to be.
Or about to be.
Or about to be.
Maybe I'm having my Madam Web moment where I'm like, I'm voting for Ron DeSantis in 2024. Anyway, maybe we'll take that out.
Well, it's too bad because I want to discuss the film about the polyamorous race car drivers.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, you know, the race car driver and the pit crew is all a polycule.
Oh my God.
Come on.
I think they would. Well, it's either like they would win for every time because their love is so strong and their
no
trust is so powerful.
The they always win.
Or they would always lose because they're always making out during the race.
Yeah.
Stop kissing.
There is such a thing as too much love.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Love is love. Except for at race car events.
That's the tagline. That's there, her web connects them all. Love is love except at a race.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
God, race car driving really, you know how some things just are like almost too obvious of a commentary? Like for everyone to just be like eating hot dogs while watching fossil fuels being burned and then the cars have like advertisements on them.
Okay, not to be a bitch, but you sound like Portland Mom right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What? Also, do you start turning red when someone is a
and guess what? My child, celiac, is having a great time.
Should we get into the topic?
Yes. Okay, Esther.
Yes.
What is your topic and what do you think is straight about it?
Okay, I'm so excited to be talking about this today. I'll tell you one just really quickly, one of my rejected topics, because I did a heavy vetting process before I arrived here today.
Oh.
Who did you vet with? Yourself?
Yeah,
or?
Not us.
Yeah, okay. Me. Just me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now that's Madam Web, to be like having a conversation with another version.
I mean,
of
you're literally astral projecting. And
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Now I have that to look forward to. I didn't know that was an element.
Yeah.
Of
she can sort
so
of split.
Cool. She can kind
no
of split.
No spoilers.
She does it once.
She does it once, and honestly, like, not well.
No. For now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madam Web 2.
Future adventures.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Adam Sandler is certainly like one,
yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? But but what is there to say that hasn't been said? But, well, a lot, actually.
Probably a lot.
And, you know, I'll just leave y'all with that tease and, you know, the people. But what I wanted to talk about was museums with slides in them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's how I'm referring to this sort of catch-all phenomenon of museums that, you know, the first level is these Instagram museums.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Museum of Ice Cream. Now there's the Museum of Broadway. There's like a balloon museum.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Museum of Sex,
Ripley's,
right?
Believe it or Not, you mentioned before.
Yes. So then you start getting into like some of the like 90s, like experience economy. Mm-hmm. Ripley's Believe It or Not, the Madame Tussauds.
Mm-hmm.
All of these like, you know, 42nd Street sort of things that, you know, we saw them as gauche then, but now they've been sort of classed up in this way for this certain, like, millennial, you know, email job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Consumer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, these are your museums? You're afraid of culture? What, you're afraid of history?
To be living in New York City and even contemplate going to the Museum of Ice Cream. Literally get on the train and go to any museum.
It's so hard because to me,
they seem fun.
No. Don't put me in that box. I just can see how someone would feel so lost and lonely that they would find themselves seeking out that culture where they would be like, I don't know who or what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and instead of it sitting with that and trying to look inward, they're like, so I guess I'm going to go to the Museum of Ice Cream. And
well, you have a really big heart. You can see it that way.
Yeah.
And
But what you're giving us, I mean, is what you're giving us, don't yuck their yum?
No, I would never.
Thank you for saying
I would never, ever say that in my life.
I'm just saying there's something, to me, there's like a sadness there, which
sure.
I don't always feel empathetic. It's, no. I pick and choose.
I actually think that there's something there because I think about like, you know, before I was a woman, I was a Disney adult.
Oh, was that so your transition also included letting go of your Disney adult past?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Okay. I mean, not that I like, you know, I mean, I still like kind of, I'm a musical theater person.
Sure,
and it's
sure.
like, you know, sure. I still sort of love, what can I say? I love magic.
Of course.
Okay. Guilty.
What is your relationship with Disney now? I have to know.
I mean, my relationship with Disney now is I love musical theater, basically.
Okay.
And
sure.
you know, I love the Muppets.
You love doing A Whole New World at karaoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, one time I, in college, I was in a class my senior year called Disney's Lands. I had to write an essay to get in. There were like 20 people from the school. It was at University of Michigan, and like they wanted one from like all these different majors, all these different.
Whoa, they got together like an Infinity War cast
literally.
In order to have different perspectives on Disney?
Yeah, on specifically the theme parks.
Oh, wow.
My God.
Like, there's like, you know, people that are like business majors, architecture, art history, like musical theater, you
yeah.
know, like.
I knew someone who was a religious studies major whose thesis was on Disneyland as a religious space.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Mecca.
Yeah.
And you walk around
100%.
It.
I mean, it's sort of like, yeah. well, that's one page. What did you write
yeah.
for the rest of the
Yeah. That's a really good point.
And
yeah.
Goofy is a god. And
right.
yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty, yeah,
pretty one to one.
Honey, Donald is Job.
Yeah, yeah.
So
period.
Say yeah. that.
But like, as like the culmination of the class, we went to Disney World, mm-hmm. and we like studied. We like talked about it and stuff. And I stayed one extra day, and I thought it would be kind of cool to be in the parks alone, but it was actually the loneliest night of my life.
I'm going to tell you something not shocking to me.
I know.
That being in Disney World alone would
what
make
I
you
thinking?
Feel lonely.
What yeah. was your fantasy?
You're like, they're going to tap me to be the new Cinderella.
No, literally. I was like, they're going to say, hey, you with the stars in your eyes, like, you know, there's something magical about you.
Yeah, they're like, you can't sing, can you? And then you're like,
I'd be like, funny you ask. Yeah. But so all this to say,
yeah,
there is like the person who would think that like a museum of ice cream would be like an enriching experience. They're a lonely person who doesn't know themselves yet.
Yeah.
Well, I was able to.
I think you're also being optimistic.
Maybe
I think,
so.
Guess what? You're saying it's loneliness. You're saying they don't know themselves yet. What if that's just their personality and it's for good? And there's no, and that just, unfortunately, there's a certain segment of the population that is Museum of Ice Cream.
I don't know why I'm being so empathetic to this type of person.
I'm not even saying I believe this, but I do think that is a perspective.
It's worth asking.
And I also think all
asking.
Of this, the conversation we're having now is essentially the conversation that was happening about Trump voters after the 2016 election.
to me it's both, honestly. It's like,
yeah.
you're afraid of something,
mm-hmm.
you're afraid of looking out of your element, you're afraid of like art museums, but I never taught that in school, like,
right.
what, I'll look so stupid,
right.
there,
but you're also
art,
this,
art museums, like, you're, I mean, it's basically like you're going to like look at these mirrors.
Yes,
they show you yourself.
Well, if you can handle it.
And that's exactly it.
Or is it even the opposite? Is it like the people that think they're so sophisticated because they're going to the, you know, Art of the Americas exhibit, are they even more looking into a mirror because they're so like obsessed with being sophisticated that,
right.
anything they see will just reflect back to them, I am smart.
It's like, are they wise mad men, or are they mad wise men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I'm trying to turn my perspective to be hateful towards these people.
Sure.
I think
it's always good to get a little
I think
hateful.
Your
yeah.
angle on it it's something I hadn't considered before, which is we had these 90s early aughts versions of this.
Right.
Ripley's Believe It or Not, Madame Tussauds.
Right.
Those are very self-evidently lame now.
Right.
And this is updating that for the Instagram generation.
Right.
Well, those also specifically were like for families in theory. It was like my family's visiting this weird city, yeah. And so what are we going to do?
Maybe it speaks to a sort of arrested development of a certain, like, you know, we don't have houses, right? Like millennials, like we're the first generation, you know, all the like. So someone like, a Marnie, right? Like she's just truly a perfect character.
Mm-hmm.
A Marnie who never really had to look inward might still enjoy the things from her youth. Having not really grown up, but feel shame about that fact, and so look for something that sort of also flatters her aesthetically.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
if we could own homes, we would not have
if they turn the Museum of Ice Cream into affordable housing,
yes.
Then everyone will be flocking to the Whitney Biennial. Is what you're
That's
saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That actually does make
sense
to me.
And we'd have thriving culture again.
There's something about like... It's all about rent.
Yeah.
Well, it's also how... It's about what you expect out of escapism. Because it's like, if you're so miserable in your day-to-day life, you want escapism to literally be like a 4DX 3D movie that makes you, that beats you into forgetting.
George bought us 4DX tickets when we saw Madame Web. It was actually a nightmare.
It turned out fine. We found the one row that wasn't moving, and it's not my fault.
We were about to have a heart attack because we were in a 4DX theater getting sprayed with water and wind and being rocked around.
Webs connecting us.
Yeah, talk about the web that connects them all.
That's the 40X
seats. This is when I just... are you going to hold your thought?
Let me remember it. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I saw Avatar The Way of Water in Screen X, which
is
the format. There were like 15 formats to see Avatar in. This was the one where they have like extra screen on the sides.
Oh,
so there's screen
sure.
on three sides of you. But the screen on the sides was like rendered so poorly. It looked like a PS2 cutscene.
Oh no.
It looked like a Windows screensaver. And so every time that it like, I couldn't take the movie seriously every time that that happened.
Yeah, it is.
That's the only time I've seen
surely
that.
Surely one of my pet peeves is like, leave the film going experience alone.
100%.
Like it makes me so upset.
Actually, this is connected to what we're saying.
Yes.
Well, her web connects them all.
Well, her web connects them all.
Yeah.
But so my original point was like, if you hate your life, there's no social safety net. Donald Trump is president, or honestly, even Biden.
Woo.
Mm-hmm. Then you're looking for like extreme forms of escapism.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have everything you need, you're living in Denmark, then you actually have the space to interpret a painting because you have the peace of mind where you don't need to actually be like pulverized into submission in order to enjoy a movie. You know?
So not that there's not value in being pulverized.
Yes. Well, of course.
Well, yes.
So
I think that's, but I also think that there's even when things are going like well, quote unquote, I think we've in America, we've like maybe since the 80s, right? It all goes back to
Reagan's
web connects us all. You know,
that's actually true.
Reagan was the original Madame Web.
In the 90s, there was like a sense of there was this like growing wealth, right? You know, like that Hunter S. Thompson article about like what, like after 9/11, you know, we're going to look at the 90s as this big party
realize it.
But there was this like decay beginning. And we had like a sense of that. So we
I would say around the Lewinsky scandal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of, have y'all seen Snowpiercer?
Yes. I've seen it. Finally, a movie that I've seen.
I just keep thinking about like the decadence of like the second train, right? It's a little bit of that. It's like there's like this party going on, wanting to ignore.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes,
the decay happening.
Yeah.
as the
So the Museum of Ice Cream is that party in this?
It's the party. It's people with email jobs.
It's people with email jobs.
Oh, got it.
Trying being to distract like, themselves.
Yeah, by being in a ball pit.
Yeah, I can't see the rot happening all around me.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because my instinct is that, not to state the obvious, that is the rot. Like when you're looking at this dirty, disgusting ball pit and there are people that are fully 29 years old that are like almost drowning because they want photos of themselves with oversized sprinkles, you're like, well, if that is not the rot, then what is?
Mm. And now we're back to object and subject.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If that is not the rot, then what is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like, is the rot like the object or like the signifier?
Yes, yes.
You know?
No, I think.
Like, does that signal the rot or is it the rot?
Right. Yes. Is it, or also like, is it a symptom of the rot or is it the rot itself?
Right.
I guess it is a symptom. You can't argue that the Museum of Ice Cream is the
where the rot starts.
Yeah. Right,
what
exactly.
If I was like, well, the Museum of Ice Cream came first and then Trump was elected because specifically of the Museum of Ice Cream.
No, it was 29 God. Rooms, yeah. Then Trump.
Well, the other thing is, okay, so you're talking about Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we all have our issues with Disneyland, whatever. But at the very least, Disneyland is based on beloved characters that all do come from true masterworks. Like,
sure.
When you look at old Mickey Mouse cartoons, when you watch Disney movies that we grew up with,
right.
Like, whatever. There is a there. There is, to go to the signifier, there is a signified. The signified is these beloved characters.
Yes.
I think with the Museum of Ice Cream, there is no signified. You go in and it's just a general positive vibes.
Yeah.
There's nothing that it reminds you of. There's nothing that it is like pointing to. It doesn't even really remind you of your childhood because it's not like you're going to Six Flags or something.
Right.
There is nothing that it is signifying. It's just like, please look at these colors and don't ask questions.
Aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, again, I think that's the sadness of it, where it's these people that, like, want to go, they want to do something fun. They have a goal.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've seen pictures from this. I hope it's fun.
Right.
And they get there and they're like, oh, it's just empty. Like, it's just colors.
But they don't, I don't know if they're disappointed.
Right.
I don't know if they're thinking, oh, it's just empty. Like, are they getting that far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to, even if they don't know I'm empty because of this, I feel like there's a sadness when they leave. Like, I have to.
I have to think
there's a sadness.
Yeah.
Because even they'll post the picture. Of course, you went, you paid the entry fee, you're going to post the picture and the sprinkles.
Right.
And then you're like checking it for likes and you're like, is it good enough?
Oh my God.
And that's so sad.
There's also something about, I think one of the darkest parts of our culture is the rise of half humor, which is when something gestures at being funny without actually being funny.
Yeah.
And I think Museum of Sex, Museum of Ice Cream, all of these things are semi-ironic, but don't have the courage to be either fully ironic or fully earnest. And I think that is actually, talk about signs of rot.
Yeah.
I do think it's like, at least if you're going to a museum and going to a truly like a Degas exhibition, okay?
Yeah.
That is fully earnest. You are like, I am seeing this great painter and I am seeing just nonstop photos of ballerinas. Then on the other side of things, what's something like completely, like if you're going like ironically to a water park, that is like fully, you're having fun with your chicas,
sure.
It's ironic.
Sure.
That's not rot. Going to a water park is not rot.
This is, no.
But Museum of Ice Cream is like not being able to commit to one or the other.
Right. It's shame.
It's shame and it's also honestly,
culture.
It's a shame-based culture.
Yeah, it's fear.
And it's honestly wanting to like dissociate a little bit, like to just be like, well, here we're all ice cream.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's really dark.
Because what, like, what, it's like, why do they call it a museum?
Well, and there you go.
You know what I mean? Like, why do they have to be like, and look, if it were a museum, that's a different story. If there were like installations about like, that could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like the history of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to know?
I mean,
you know?
I'm curious.
Yeah. I'm sure it's storied.
I mean,
so
it's at least one good room.
At least one good room.
Yeah.
The first lactose intolerant girl who started farting after eating an ice cream cone.
Yeah. So, but like, this is like, they have to say that it's a museum.
Yeah.
So that these people who are like ashamed to just have fun.
Yeah.
Who are like ashamed of like, of maybe not reaching like certain like milestones that they feel they should have reached by now, They still, it's like the air of culture.
Well, they have to call it a museum because they're afraid to call it a church.
Oh, honey. Well, yes.
Because
well,
what we're actually missing is non-commodified spaces for people to congregate. And we all know this.
And we're getting, and of
course, what do we have instead? The Museum of Ice Cream.
I mean, this goes back to Reagan, of course.
This goes, well,
this goes back to Reagan.
It was, Museum of Ice Cream was Reagan's last idea, and then he died. He was fully, he had full on dementia. He was on his deathbed. Nancy was giving him one last BJ.
Yeah.
And then he was like, a museum with no art.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
The way that you just described the Museum of Ice Cream, it reminds me of an event I went to once that also filled me with sadness that was at a bar during the day, yeah. And it was like you take the SAT.
Excuse me?
You take the SAT
as a joke
and like see what score you got. And I went, and they had like performing on it. There would like be like performance breaks. And I was just like,
this is shocking. Was it a caveat?
Of course it was a cameo. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was just like...
What a read. Devastating.
And guess what? Don't bleep that. Because they need to know.
Yeah.
There are people out there going to take the SATs recreationally.
It was just like, you have to move on. You are like... Yeah. Still yeah, so yeah, proud yeah. of yourself for being good at the SATs.
That's tough.
It was so
you
sad
have to
me.
Let go of. And you know what this web connects to? These are people who can't see a future for themselves.
They can't see a future, only the past.
And that's why Madame Web is the ultimate hero right
she
now.
She can see the future, sort of.
She's imagining queer futures.
Yes.
Sort of.
And actually, I think the sort of is important because it doesn't have this this like male confidence of like,
oh my God,
I'm going to go to the moon and plant a flag.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's like maybe tomorrow it might rain.
Yeah.
Well, there's a community aspect.
Yes.
Of course.
Right. It's like her sort of is like she can envision these futures, right? And if it were a man, like probably the man would be like, this is happening.
Yeah. Right?
But she is like, I'm going to like, I'm going to share that information.
Mm-hmm.
And then like together, we can move forward.
Yes, it's a little, it's something, it's an iceberg. It's like, maybe this is it. Now let's go to the web for more. She has an idea, and then she's like, and then we'll work through it together.
Yeah. And she apologizes for it.
And she apologizes.
Huh.
Something you will notice, Esther, when you see the film is that every second word out of her mouth is, I don't know. All the teen girls keep asking her, like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And she's like, girls, I don't know.
It's the most incredible performance. The whole movie, the metatext, of course, is, I don't know what this movie's about.
Yes.
And it's like, thank you.
That's
like,
so cool.
Yeah. I wonder if some of those lines actually were something else. And Dakota Johnson was like, whatever.
Like, I feel like the character wouldn't know here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's so much going on. Why is that guy chasing us? I don't know. It's amazing.
It's just that for an hour
amazing.
And a half. And then she gets her powers truly within the last like 20 minutes.
And only sort of.
Yeah. She's like,
and once again, culture can't commit.
Yeah. No. Well, you know what it is? It's like, you know, in, you know, the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, or for me, in my world, the original, I know there's more.
Sure.
You know, he starts getting his powers and he's like trying to climb for the first time. Yeah. He's figuring it out. And that's like the first... That's the end of the first act, because that's how a superhero movie is structured. It's like, you find your powers, you try to use them, you fail, then you figure them out. In Madame Web, that's the finale.
yeah. So this is a symptom of, this is like capitalistic bloat.
Right, because it's a prequel to a prequel. Yeah.
Exactly.
But then if you actually take it as
I almost said exact-wall.
Exact-wall. It's the way that the whole movie is to get to, there's just the point, she's a normal girl the whole time.
But what makes
I'm totally
what
not to love.
But what makes it camp is that those sequels will never come.
No.
So we are left with this sort of amazing story with no resolution. It's like Lady Bird. Like it's literally like
she
almost
changes
like,
her name at the end.
Yes.
She does.
Yeah,
she
so does. I'm actually interested to see if there's a trans narrative here. You know, like
well, guess what? We're not gonna find out.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait for you to see it.
I can't wait to see it. I'd love to, if I could just like come on later for like a little 10-minute Patreon exclusive. Then yeah.
I am okay with the rest of our Patreon content forever being about Madam Web.
You know what? Madam Web actually inspires so much hope and joy in me because
I agree.
It's similar to what we're saying about language, where it's like what's out now, what's in now. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to have a new thing that everyone as a community is like, this is defining the conversation for the year. We'll look back on this year and be like, remember when we were laughing about Madam Web? Yeah. You know, it's going to feel so good.
I had the thought, and maybe you both had this thought too, because, you know, you're very smart and plugged in. Of course. Individuals, you know.
Well. Well, yes.
About like maybe 4 to 5 minutes ago, I was like, are we dating this episode in a big way?
Oh, yes.
But the last thing that felt like this, how Madam Web feels, is cats.
Mm. Well, people have been saying it's the cats of superhero movies.
Yeah. And cats... I still like cats jokes. Like, I still smile.
It was a crazy moment.
Yeah. It was a crazy moment. And the fact that that was, like, everyone's last movie before lockdown. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I saw, like, a 10:30 p.m. at, like, Lincoln Square AMC. So we all were just doing full talk back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was so fun. This is, like, I still laugh. I still think fondly on that moment. So... I do think something about Madam Web is, and it signifies the death of the superhero.
Yes, right, which is so great. Way. Like, what a way to go.
What a way to go.
It didn't end with a bang. It ended with an, I don't know.
I love it. With the girlies.
Yeah.
With the girls.
With Sydney Sweeney being in an aborted prequel for Spider Squad.
She's being Spider Girl. She's in the MCU.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it or whatever, in interviews.
Incredible. It's too good. I really like that our episodes are so dated. Like, I think it's so funny as a little journal.
Yeah.
So keep it topical.
If you were to make a fake museum, what would the topic be?
Wow.
Great question.
Really good question with a slide. Yeah.
By the way, we haven't addressed the actual slide. In case anyone has the problem that I had. So when Esther first said this, I hesitated because I thought that she meant slides like a slideshow, like a historical history museums that have a slideshow.
And so I'll be honest, I saw a wave of confusion come over your face when I shared the topic right before we started recording. And I was taken aback because I was like, I feel like this is a perfect...
Totally. No, yes. So,
but then as soon as you understood, then you were like, oh, this is rich.
At first I was like, oh, does she mean slides or slides? But then I just used context clues, which can be so amazing.
Yeah. Context clues are hard for me. So off the bat, I'm like, would yours be the Museum of Broadway?
Well, that does exist.
Oh, it does exist.
There is a Museum of Broadway, and you know that it's like halfway, right?
It just has like one bra that Patti LuPone wore.
It has. It's a room of like one from every show.
Oh, wow! Yeah.
Beautiful.
It has the padded bra that Rob McClure wore as Mrs. Doubtfire.
You get to take a picture with a playbill on your way out.
Yeah. No. This is the thing. It's like halfway, right? Because I haven't been to it. I haven't been to any of these. But there is history stuff, but then you take a picture at like there's like a swing that's like themed like hair or something like that.
I see.
Take pictures with that.
So it's sort of what you would get if you were to go to a Broadway show that had a little photo op, but all of them together. Like, you know, I remember when I went to Angels in America, like they had the wings that you could take a photo in front of.
Yeah.
So it's that, but then for every show. And you also don't get to see a show.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, is there a better metaphor for this kind of fake museum than that? It's like...
It's spectacle.
Yes, it's spectacle, but without the spectacle.
I have a question. When you are in like a space where it's like you got to the end of the museum, you should take a picture on the hair chair. Mm-hmm. Do you take a picture?
Not anymore.
Do you?
I will say, I don't know if I actually posted it, but I did get a photo with the Angels in America wings when I went with my friend Steph.
See, this, I am so rocked when put in that situation because I'm like, do I do it or am I above it? Mm-hmm. Because obviously in my mind, I'm way above it. But I'm human.
Right.
I came to the show. I need proof of it.
Well, it's a little bit like, you hate capitalism, but you have an iPhone.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, well, you're there.
Well, you know what else I do? And I do this literally with no shame. You better believe I post the playbill to my story every single time I go to the theater.
See, I don't.
And I don't. I'm not going to be shamed for it.
I think there's something about the ephemery of the story.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I would never do a grid for post. Indulgence. Yes.
I do. Yeah. I love this.
And guess what? Because it's like, obviously, I'm also kind of being like, look at me, I'm at a play.
Right.
But what's also fun about it is that everyone else who has seen it then responds and is like, oh my God, wasn't Elle Fanning like so bad?
Yeah. Uh oh. Just bleep out bad.
I went to Cole's show.
Yeah.
And I don't go to theater very often with a playbill.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know the culture is take a picture of the playbill. Mm-hmm.
But real theater people would probably look at me and are like, you're so gauche for doing that. But I don't care.
I felt so much shame. And I had to look around and make sure other people were doing it too.
Real theater people aren't that cultured anymore. Real theater people are posting to their grid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like a night out of the town. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh. Well, should we do our final segment?
I mean, none of us have answered my question.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I mean, but also...
I can think of an answer.
Yeah, wait.
It has to... Because it's a difficult one because it has to be something essentially bad. Like, you're creating something you wouldn't even yourself want to...
Well, the one I would fully... I would want, if there was a hacky way to do like Museum of Gay Guy, where if it were like
that's awesome.
That is great.
That's awesome.
That's really good, actually.
Yeah. And you could there'd be there'd be the Fire Island section of like the 70s, you'd also you could walk into like a dance floor and this is what it was like.
Yeah,
like a fake Keith Haring mural.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like Diva's Room?
Diva's Room.
Diva's Room.
Like just a room that has like the concert film of the Madonna Confessions tour playing on a loop.
You could get kind of exit through the gift shop, like poppers, like poppers.
Yes, totally. You're like,
also a giant thing of poppers to do a photo op with.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There'd be like a framed jockstrap.
A really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also I kind of want to go what's some of the early gay guys? I don't really know
Toga.
Gay male history. Toga.
Toga.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what's turn of the century gay guy?
Well, dandies history.
The Mattachine Society.
Yes, right. Exactly.
I think there's something really beautiful with trans women and gay guy history, like the way it has intertwined.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, at certain points in history.
Absolutely.
Because people are like, oh, you're just crazy people with penises. we're actually. There's a lot of different ways to be there.
Yeah. Footage not found.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Okay,
so that would be mine, I think. Mine?
That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
This is actually this actually sort of does exist. I'm thinking of if you go to Cooper Hewitt or something and they have an exhibition that's the history of advertising. Ooh. And there's famous ads.
Sure.
That does exist, and you could argue it is art.
Right.
But there is something about there's almost a 90s kids will remember this element. A museum that is basically BuzzFeed the museum. It's just artifacts from your childhood.
Whoa.
And it's in fact micro-targeted so that when you enter a room, it's all things that bring you back to your childhood. It's like a Power Ranger that's still in the wrapper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
I think that something like that is bound to happen, honestly.
Yeah. And it'll be VR because it'll be algorithmically.
That's how it's
VR.
Pointed to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something that I think something I really left-wing revolutionary history and stuff like that and protests. And so I think it would be cool and crazy to have like a museum that's like dedicated to that.
Yeah.
And like radical movements and stuff like that specifically. And there is this extra added layer of darkness that it's being commodified.
No, that's
and
really
being reclaimed
good.
And recaptured.
So dark.
And you feel like you're like doing something by going to this like the museum of radicality or something. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that does like, it's like you will like, occasionally go to like you know, protest art or something.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like a framed sign from a protest.
Right.
And it and then like a photo of people congregating. And then you're also with people, but rather than creating change themselves, they're sort of all being like, wow, that was powerful.
No, yeah. There's like there's an exhibit right now at the Brooklyn Museum mm-hmm. that I really want to go to of like queer zines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this like radical way of like spreading information within like queer punk communities and stuff that like now is being given this legitimacy, but like also while it's still happening. So I think there's like, I wonder what that's doing to like the brains of the people, like everything that like, you know, I wonder if they're somewhere in the back of their mind, they're like, well, this might be like in a museum one day.
Well, I do think this happens so much with the ACT UP generation. Like it has been, that story has now been told so many different times in documentaries, in museums, whatever, that it's so difficult to actually be like, oh, that was, there was a time when that wasn't commodified.
Right.
Right. It's hard to remember that.
Yeah. And things get left out.
And things, of course things
the
get
left out. The more that it, you know, like people want to talk about the suffragists. They don't want to talk about how the suffragists bombed things, you know?
Whoa.
Bleep that one out.
But in your museum, that'll be whole room.
You'll get, you'll,
never mind.
You'll get to, you'll get to, you'll I mean, it would be things like the anarchist, like here's a bomb recipe.
Yeah.
It'll be called Steal This Museum.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh my God, Esther.
Done.
There's a future here.
That's a $1 million mutual aid fund museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good.
Damn.
Wow.
Thank you.
To the queer zine thing, I did have something where I like in a museum when it's like, you know, things from the past and you're like looking at stuff in like recent past where it's like, this is zines from the 70s or something. And you're like, cool, cool, cool. And then when it gets like, and they're still being made today. And like, you see like stuff from like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm always like, don't show me that.
Yeah.
Like you haven't had time to ruminate on this.
Exactly.
Like, let's see if this one's important later.
Yeah.
Even they get too contemporary.
100%. It's like, who chose that one?
Yeah. Is that your friend?
Yeah.
Be honest.
That's the vibe.
Do you guys know what actually is so part of this conversation, which is when old school museum culture and fake museum culture clashed when MoMA did the Bjork exhibition.
Whoa.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember this.
So it was like...
I
didn't go either. They heavily advertised this and it was going to be like Bjork at... it was the Bjork show at MoMA. And it had... and you sort of think, okay, it'll have some like costumes from her videos, whatever. And I don't remember the details, but it was the most like critically panned art show of like all time. Like it was like an embarrassing, humiliating moment for MoMA. It was seen as like them trying so hard and so desperately to like appeal to people that wouldn't otherwise come to a museum. And I do wonder if, I don't know, is there a way to, like, let's say you are an old school museum, you want to get new blood in, but you don't want to do Museum of Ice Cream. What is a way to do it while maintaining some integrity?
I think it's just,
I guess
how
it is the zine thing.
Well, I do think it's the zine thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll speak to what would get me in, right? Is like, is more like queer art.
Just
like,
inclusivity. Yeah.
Inclusivity. Yeah. Inclusivity.
Yeah. So I guess the answer is just inclusivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Done.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that's pretty easy to accomplish.
Yeah. We solved museums.
Museums. All right.
That was easy.
I'm feeling really good right now.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of feeling filled with light.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. We'll see you at the Guggenheim.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Now we should do our final segment.
Now we should do our final segment. I wish I had one. I'm going to be honest with you.
Our final segment is called Shoutouts. Okay. And in this segment, we pay homage to the grand straight oral tradition of the radio shoutout.
Yes.
Giving a shout out to anything that we enjoy. We will go first. And then you, of course.
Yes. Naturally.
Naturally.
Well, yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
What's up? Freaks, losers, and not to mention perverts. I want to give a shout out to the new Kacey Musgraves song, Deeper Well. That's right. I am enjoying this song. I feel like, you know, like everyone else, I was obsessed with Golden Hour album by her. But then the next one, I was sort of like, yeah, this is fine. And it's sort of, you know, when you love something by someone so much and then the next one you don't love that much and you're like, did I ever like them? What is my relationship with Kacey Musgraves? Mm-hmm. And now this new song came out and I said, she's a genius. And I said, I'm all in. I was a fool to have ever doubted her. It feels mature. It feels classic. And it feels, I'll say it, relevant to my current life, which is so groundbreaking when stuff is relative to my current life. So shout out to Kacey Musgraves. Shout out to the new song and shout out to being a gay guy.
Wow. Really brought it home at the end there. What's up, freaks and losers? I want to give a shout out to Getting a Manhattan on the Rocks. People will tell you, you'll meet some queer bartender and they'll say Manhattan, that goes in a little coopy glass. Oh, I didn't realize we were in, you know, occupied Russia. I can do whatever I want. I can get it on the rocks if I want. And guess what? Then I'm not drinking lukewarm sort of syrupy whiskey mixture. I'm drinking a delicious iced cocktail. Huh. So yes, I draw the line at getting a martini on the rocks. I'm not insane. Yeah. But guess what? Go to a bar, order a rye Manhattan on the rocks, and report back, because something tells me you're going to be refreshed and you're going to be honestly drunk.
Woo! I couldn't disagree more, but I...
Really? You would never do that.
I get upset when they do that.
Yeah. I get it. I used to be like you.
The little fancy glass is half the fun. I actually just wish more drinks came in a fancy, the martini style glass.
But what about... Surely it getting warm?
Well, honey, at the rate I drink, you know, it's not going to get warm.
That's true.
And there's got to be a way to split the difference, right? Like one piece of ice.
One ice.
Oh, pop an ice in there.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing more stigmatized in this country than like putting one ice cube. Like when I will sometimes put one ice cube in, I'll say it, a glass of white wine. Sue me.
Yeah.
Guess what? It keeps it cold. It doesn't change the taste that much. And I have the right to do it. So that's, talk about something we should normalize.
Do you want to do another shout out?
No.
He's furious.
I'm furious. All right, Esther, it's time for your shout out.
Okay. Hey, America. What's up, gay people?
I am loving babies. Woo! Specifically, nieces and nephews. So let's give it up for nieces and nephews. Woo! Yeah, that's right. I am not going to use the term nibbling.
Oh.
Unless I have to. And then I would gladly.
Well, God
forbid
you're ever in that situation.
For the record.
Yeah.
But
it just doesn't sound
it
great.
It feels, we need a different word.
Yeah.
And maybe we won't get it. And we'll all say nibbling. I'm a conservative, I suppose. The point is.
Well, we all are.
Little kids are really cute.
Woo.
My niece is, I was like, should I say her name?
Yeah, doxer.
I guess so. Yeah. Dox that bitch. Her name is Liv. She's 3 years old and she's starting to get to the point where she knows my name.
Love that.
And she's like, Esta's calling and wants to talk to me on the phone. And it makes me feel really good. And it gives me hope. And makes me see the future.
Wow. Oh,
her web connects me all.
Woo!
Yeah.
Connects her web connects me all.
No, that's really
that
good.
Would have been the tagline of the sequel, but they're never going to make it.
No.
Her web connects me all. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, I'm about to choke on water.
Well,
thank you for doing the podcast.
This has been an absolute joy.
A joy. Thank you.
I can't wait for our live show at the Museum of Ice Cream.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, get out there and go to the Met.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say go to Madame Web. But
no,
yeah.
Go to the Met. Yeah. Go to Madame Met.
Go to Miss Mama Met.
Get
Miss
culture. Mama Don't Met. Be afraid.
Don't be afraid
of looking inside.
Yeah.
We believe in you.
Yeah.
And don't be
you
scared.
Might like what
guess
you
what?
See.
You look at a piece of art, you don't immediately get it. Move on to the next one.
And yeah.
There are so many.
Yes. You don't have to get it.
It might seem like us three, because of the way we're talking, it might seem like we get every piece of art.
No,
we don't.
I haven't gotten a piece of art since Madame Web, honestly.
But to be fair, we saw it very recently.
We saw it very recently.
I feel like I'm going to see that and be like, oh, that's the first piece of art I got. Yeah, I didn't get anything else.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, well, bye.
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 Podcast ends now.
Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/stradiolab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.